a secure vault in the Bank of England. The vault is pitch black, apart from a dim light that seeps through a barred window. Through it, we can see the familiar shapes of the London skyline. A figure enters with stealth. It is a bank robber. We cannot see his face. Perhaps he wears a muffler, or the light in the vault is just not enough. The bank robber checks his pocket watch and coughs slightly. He waits without moving. The shadowy figure of a police officer passes by the window. A bank robber springs into action. He removes a stethoscope from a distinctive bag and begins to crack the safe. Suddenly, he stops, checks his pocket watch, and coughs slightly. He waits without moving again. The police officer passes by the window. The bank robber continues his work. The safe swings open, and he carefully fills the distinctive bag with piles of notes, about £40,000 in all. Suddenly, he stops, checks his pocket watch, and coughs slightly. He waits without moving. The police officer passes by the window a third time. The bank robber continues to empty the safe. When the bag is full, he swings the safe shut, perhaps a little harder than he intended. An armed guard runs into the vault and aims his rifle, but before he can shoot, the bank robber pulls out a pistol and fires. The guard drops dead, and with a moonlit flash of a set of particularly magnificent teeth, the masked figure escapes. 22 minutes after 11, Wednesday, October 2nd, 1872, morning. We can be so precise about our location and time because we live in an age of technological progress. We live in an age of reason, in an age of science, in an age of truth. We live in the great Victorian age. We measure our lives, our universe, our days with ingenious devices that only the most clever can understand. Fearsome engines power our factories, steam across our land and our waterways. Our empire stretches to all four corners of the globe, and that globe itself is shrinking. By way of telegraph, the mail packets, and the railroad, information now passes at an extraordinary speed, so that a sensation here in London may be heard in Australia only days later. Shrinking indeed, for these days a man may cross our planet 10 times more quickly than 100 years ago. Indeed, it is said, even in the Daily Telegraph, that one may now go around the world in 80 days. Mr. Fogg, I'm here about the job. You are French, I believe. I am. You do not have a French accent. No, I've traveled a lot. Really? Only not that recently in France. The traveling is how I got my nickname, Passepartout. You've traveled a lot, and you are called Jean. Jean. John. Jean? But that is wrong. It's French. Exactly. I am French. I'm sorry about that. And I've traveled about a lot because I seem to be very good at leaving one job and finding myself in another. You have said, but I do not believe you are a Frenchman at all. Really? No. Oh, monsieur, I cannot lie. You cannot lie? No, I cannot lie. That is the truth. Well, that could prove rather inconvenient. You may be French, but your references are good. And you know my conditions. One last thing. What time is it? 24 minutes after 11. It's slow. Monsieur? No matter. It's enough for me to bring your attention to the error and for you to correct your watch. Don't let it happen again. I am going to my club. I shall return at midnight, precisely. For Mr. Phileas Fogg to reach the Reform Club in Pall Mall, he has to put his right foot in front of his left 575 times, and his left foot in front of his right foot 576 times. A pleasant task, known as walking, that he has performed every day at 11:30 a.m. for more years than anyone cares to remember. An anatomy of Mr. Phileas Fogg. Figure tall and well proportioned, about 40 years of age. Fine, handsome features, hair and whiskers light, forehead neat and smooth, a clear eye. Face a little pale, magnificent teeth, an English gentleman, a true English gentleman. And now we are in his dressing room. Opening the wardrobe reveals an infinitely large space containing an infinite number of identical suits. Look in his wardrobe. Each pair of trousers, each coat, and each jacket is numbered, indicating the time of year and season at which it should be worn. The same system applies to the shoes. This is the singular resemblance of an honest man. A man perfectly well balanced and regulated. A man so exact that he is never in a hurry. The most deliberate man in the world. One who always arrives on time. Yet, even in this ordered age, we are never far from the disorder that threatens our measured existence. Sensation. Bank of England robbed. £40,000 in freshly minted notes stolen. Bank guard brutally murdered. Police seal the ports and stations. And we are outside the Reform Club. 574. 575. 576. Ah, the Reform Club. A reward of £2,000 and 5% of whatever is recovered. That will be a spur to capturing the thief. A well-dressed gentleman, they say, with polished manners. Tall, about 40 years of age. Handsome features, hair and whiskers light. A clear eye, face a little pale. And magnificent teeth. Magnificent teeth? Magnificent teeth. I know he doesn't sound the type to rob the Bank of England and brutally murder a guard. Sounds more like a true English gentleman. Only a true English gentleman wouldn't. They'll stop him soon. Oh, yes, he had better find some excuse, no matter how implausible, for leaving London rapidly. We won't get far, not with a description like that in the hands of the police. No country would be safe for him. Where could he go then? Oh, the world is big enough to hide one man. It was once. What? Has the world grown smaller? Indeed, it has. Progress has made it smaller. And a smaller world offers fewer places for the villain to hide. One might as well say that his escape will be easier. For if he can travel around this smaller world in, say, 3 months, 80 days, 80 days? 80 days, it was in the telegraph, like this. From London to Suez, 7 days. From Suez to Bombay, 13 days. From Bombay to Calcutta, 3 days. From Calcutta to Hong Kong, 13 days. From Hong Kong to Yokohama by steamer, 6 days. From Yokohama to San Francisco by steamer, 22 days. From San Francisco to New York, 7 days. From New York to London by steamer and rail, 9 days. total 80 days.